If you have your Bible, kindly turn with me to Psalms 30, verse 1 to 12. Psalms chapter 30, verse 1 to 12. And I want to greet a good morning to those of you who are watching live stream. All right, though you're invisible by faith, I know you're there. All right, Psalms 30, verse 1 to 12. And I want to read to you from the ESV version. It says here, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. Verse 1 says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand. And not only stand, but stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord. Be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. God bless the reading of his word. Shall we bow our heads to pray? Father, this morning, I want to commit the preaching of your word to your hands. I ask for the Holy Spirit to take over the entire service. Lord, I pray you anoint me and the hearers here, and let your power be made perfect in my weakness. I stand strong in your grace of God that you have called me. God, I pray that you will minister to your people. Let your word find a hiding place in all of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, I ask and I pray. Today, we are in what has amounted for many of us to be the most trying and most unnerving 2 years of our lives. Think back to just January 2020. How much has seemed to change in so short a span? Psalms 30 has a word that we need to hear in this COVID pandemic as a prosperous and as a prideful generation is being humbled. Verse 6 and verse 7 in our key text says this, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. As for us, how many of us would have thought, how many of us today would have assumed in our prosperity just 2 years ago, we shall never be moved. The global economy would never tank with such little notice. Major league games would never be cancelled. The Olympic schedule for 2020 would never be postponed. United States being the most powerful nation in the world, surely it could face this pandemic the best. Yet, USA remains today the number one highest in the world for COVID infection and death. We shall never be moved. Social ease and movement were always a sure thing. We shall never be moved. Church attendance was an easy thing in the Philippines because of the religious freedom. We shall never be moved. The air we breathe is a sure thing too. We shall never be moved. Malls and cinemas would never be shut down. Schools and classes would open and continue as usual. The Philippine field health system was robust and would never be challenged to the core in a matter of months. We shall never be moved. The economy of the Philippines had picked up drastically since the presidency of Noynoy Aquino. Our families are strong and healthy. We shall never be moved. Yet, we have been moved. By God's favor, our mountains may stand strong. But when God chooses to hide his face, it crumbles overnight. There's this question that Psalms 30 posed to you and me this morning. The question is, how should we as Christians think about earthly prosperity? How many of us now, looking 2 years back, would say that life seemed better then, life seemed easier then, life seemed more comfortable then, more prosper then? How many of us today have felt health, financial, and civic anxieties and full-blown fears we have never felt so acutely? Perhaps some of us sail carelessly on with few changes. But many of us now are not living in the same felt sense of prosperity we took for granted as recently as now. This morning, brothers and sisters, I would like to share a sermon entitled From Prosperity to the Pit to Praise. And the outline of my sermon will be as follows. First, I would like to give you the background of Psalms 30. And then next, I want to talk about earthly prosperity is a gift and a test. Next, the pit is fearsome and purposeful. And last but not least, praise is audible and bodily. Let's look at the background of Psalms 30. Psalms 30 is what many have called a Psalms of thanks. David, the psalmist, stands on the other side of some great distress and thanks God for rescuing him from a close encounter with death. Perhaps not unlike what many are experiencing right now in ICUs and elsewhere around the world, with or without ventilators to keep them breathing. In our Psalms, the background is this. David almost died, and he cried out to God for help, and God rescued him. And now David writes this psalm to thank God and to draw others into thanks with him. Psalms 30 has an interesting flashback in verses 6 to 10. Psalms 30 begins in the present, found in verses 1 to 3, then draws others into worship in verse 4 and grounds the praise in the timeless nature of God in verse 5, and then flashes back to David's time of trouble when he was in the pit and how he prayed for help. And this is found in verses 6 to 10. And then it ends with what I call an enhanced praise or a magnified praise in verses 12 or rather in verses 11 to 12. One way we might summarize the coherence or the flow of this psalm is to say that it moves in David's life from prosperity to the pit to praise. So let's follow that arc and see what the Psalms has to teach us about each stage. First, Psalms 30 teaches us earthly prosperity is a gift and a test. Now, let's go back to the question that I asked you just now. How Christians should think about our seasons of prosperity in this age? The answer is not simple, but it is accessible. Let's look again, verses 6 to 7. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Notice the word, never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand, okay? Or rather, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. These two verses alone give us two truths here for how we should think about our earthly prosperity. First, earthly prosperity is from God. Earthly prosperity is a gift from God. Verse 7 says, you made my mountain stand strong. It was God who made David prosperous. It was a gift, not the ultimate gift, but a real tangible blessing, fragile as earthly prosperity can be. Which means David should not have grown prideful about his seeming strength, but to be humble. And what would humility in his prosperity have looked like? It would have taken the face like gratitude. David should have thanked God for what he had, and so should we, rather than slowly swelling to being prideful about it. How do we know he was prideful? He numbered his population. There was this single mother family with two small kids who are girls that I used to visit almost every week in the early 1980s. She was a querida of a Chinese man from Mindanao. But she was abandoned by him, and she came to Iloilo to live with a rich sister. But her wicked rich sister did not take care of her, but abused her. And so she moved out to live in a shabby boarding house near Punta Duran. Every week without fail, I will visit her and help her out in small ways and big ways. The two little girls, I think one of them at that time was 2 years old, and I think the elder one was about 4 or 5. The two girls grew fond of me, and just before I left for Singapore in the 1980s for my furlough, one of the girls gave me a small cute jewelry box, which I have still kept till today. To cut the story short, this single mom decided to return to Mindanao, and I didn't hear from her for many years to come. By the time she returned to Iloilo again to work under her rich sister, her two daughters were already teenagers. They attended our church for a while, but one day again, the mother came to my office to bid me farewell, and she just left a bitter word with me in an accusing manner by saying, "I wish I am a Chinese," hinting that I favored her Chinese niece more than I favored her. Then she moved away from Iloilo City to stay in Oton. I never had any contact with her. I only heard from the grapevine that she sent her eldest daughter to Dubai to work. And after many years, she managed to build a big bungalow house with the earnings her daughter sent back. To tell you the truth, I have no idea how her daughter amassed such wealth to build such a big house. Pastor Tony and me managed to see the house one day when we fetched one of our members, you know, back who, you know, was a friend with her, and that member was on the way back from overseas, and she has no house to stay, and so this lady offered her the house. I mean, offered a room for her to stay. So I managed to see the big bungalow house. It was double-story, takut-takut git. I don't know what kind of life her eldest daughter had in Dubai, but that is not my problem. That is not my curiosity. But what I want to share with you today was the prosperity this mother got to enjoy. She received prosperity, which was like a mountain to her. She thought, "I shall never be moved." Last year, she bumped into one of my full-time staff and boasted to her about this big bungalow house and promised my staff that she will give her some money one day. But then last week, I received this shocking news. Her eldest daughter, which was her pride and mountain, died of lymphoma at the age of 40 in Dubai, unmarried. And now, this mother is slumping into depression. God hid her face, and she was dismayed. So the very first thing we can learn about earthly prosperity is this. Earthly prosperity is from God. And next, God's temporal favor in this age is not an expression of his enduring favor. Remember, verse 7 continues to say this, "You hid your face." David was God's anointed, and yet God's making David prosperous for a season was not a final word about God's favor on David. In fact, because God did favor David, he tested him, he humbled him. David almost lost everything on the brink of death itself. Just like some of you, maybe 40 of you, 2 weeks ago and maybe last week, a big portion of you did not come to church because you felt sick. Some of you were really down, okay, with COVID. You were really tested positive for COVID. Some of you, you were down with flu-like symptoms. Until today, you don't even know whether you have COVID because you never have it tested. But I want you to recall how it felt during the 2 weeks when you were sick. You felt horrible. You felt terrible. You felt like inside of you, you know, it's breaking apart. You feel that your head is going to split up. I remember when I had my second Moderna jab, you know, the cluster migraine just hit me and I just feel like banging my head. And some of you, you have spiking fever, or some of you, you have breathlessness, or even, you know, what I call, you know, chills in your body. That is how it felt to be on the brink of death itself. But we thank God none of you from this church, even though some of you came down positive with COVID, some of you are in flu-like symptoms, you were not sent to the hospital for serious symptoms. Prosperity in this world is both a gift for which to thank God. Prosperity is also a test in which to renew trust in God, not self. And I want to say to you this morning, both prosperity and poverty serve God's eternal design for God's people. And David now confesses in this flashback that he mishandled prosperity. Verse 6 says, as for me, I said in my prosperity, it means when he was prosperous, what was his attitude? His attitude is, I shall never be moved. I want you to examine this versicolo. I shall never be moved. What does it show? It shows that pride is talking. Prosperity gave space for David's pride to swell. He came to think his strength showed that he was strong of his own doing, that he would not be moved. He grew numb to the truth that it was God who actually made him strong like a mountain, that it's actually God who is able to make his mountains crumble at his word and for our eternal good. All the presumptions, we shall never be moved, that I just mentioned in my introduction, were all moved intensely and drastically by the COVID pandemic. What can we say? What some study shows us is that in this life, neither mountain strength nor God's hidden face are the final word. The wicked can seem mountain strong and be prideful, or the righteous can be mountain strong and be humble. So also the wicked in the end will be humbled, and the righteous not only might, but the righteous will go through seasons where God's face and favor seem hidden and withdrawn. Let me repeat again. Earthly prosperity is not a sign of God's eternal favor, nor is poverty a sign of his disfavor. Both are being used as his eternal instrument for his eternal purpose that he wants to mold in your life and my life. So today, if you're in a season of seeming strength and prosperity, the word for you from our key text is humble yourself before God now. Thank God. Realize the fragility of your prosperity. Acknowledge his kindness and your unworthiness. Do not say in your prosperity, I shall never be moved. Have you seen all the mountains God has crumbled since the pandemic began 2 years ago? Look at all the proud and arrogant economic, social, emotional, and financial mountains crumbling for many countries as well as for individuals because of COVID. Singapore boasted that we are number one in the seaport in the whole world. We are number one in our airport in the sea world. But 2 years ago, when everything came to a halt, if you pass by Changi Airport, you will see on the tarmac, many planes were stationary. And we didn't have enough space for all the stationary planes. We even had to rent a big space from Australia's Alice Springs, where all our, you know, inactive planes had to be parked. The shares of SIA is about maybe $20 to $30 per share. It dipped down to $6. And our government got to dig out, you know, our nation's savings, which, you know, our founding minister, Lee Kuan Yew, has started it for more than 50 years. We had to dig out, you know, from our deep savings to bail out these airlines. But I remember years ago, my prime minister was so arrogant and proud as to boast, we are number one, you know, in our airlines. We are number one in our airport, you know, pan, the thing went down. Today, if you go to Changi Airport, all right, it felt somber. In fact, we were there, it felt like, you know, like a funeral parlor, like, you know, life. And I think the duty-free shut down and was bought over by a Korean company. Brothers and sisters, sometimes when you have everything you need, pride is the one thing that comes into your life. And pride is like COVID, it's invisible. There's never one of you, you know, that comes to us or comes to God and say, God, I am proud. When you are proud, it's like an invisible gas, odorless gas. You don't even know you are proud. In fact, pride is harder to handle than adversity. There are more pitfalls to pride than adversity. At least adversity humbles us of our need for God, but prosperity bloats us up and think that, you know, we do not need God. We ourselves become the pseudo-God. You know, when I saw my country going through the hardship, in a way, I thank God for humbling the proud and arrogant Singapore. Because when you take Singapore Airlines, especially when you sit in the economy class, the air hostess were all mostly, okay, if I may say, arrogant and rude, especially if you are not a Westerner. Joy recently took SQ last year in December to Spain and from Spain to France for a 14 to 20 day vacation when the vaccinated travel lane were open between the two countries and Singapore. And she said, oh, mom, when I entered, you know, the aeroplane, all the air stewardess were so polite. And this is so unlike of them. And Joy said, good. COVID humbled all of them. You know why? Because all the planes were grounded. Many borders of other countries were closed for travels and tourism. So all these pilots, all these air hostess, what will happen to them? Our government came in. He said, be flexible, all right, to change job. And our government make so many air hostesses to become social ambassadors, going around in the malls, in the hawker centers, in the food court, to make sure people observe social distancing. If not, you book them. And many pilots, because of their high spending lifestyle, all have to take salary cuts, especially the higher echelon. The higher you are, the more pay cut you will have. And many of them resort to driving, Grab, ride, another ride-hail vehicles in Singapore. So this is how proud and arrogant people, proud and arrogant professionals get humbled because of COVID. It could be that in their prosperity, they had said in their mind, I shall never be moved. My profession is ironclad. I was laughing at my daughter. She claimed herself to be, you know, more knowledgeable in science than me, which I give to her. I'm only a pastor. I studied biology, physics, and chemistry up to JC Tu Lang. I did not proceed like her, you know, into the tertiary level. And many times, you know, she will be very, very confident in the way she and her husband will plan their family life. You know, they have family planning. They have purpose in their mind. Okay, we do not want children. So when they got this new house, they purposely renovated it such as to only accommodate two of them with no provision for a little boy or a little girl to come in their life. And she was so smug about her family planning and her birth control. And then what happened? Because she had said, I shall never be moved to be a mother. One mistake, sa honeymoon nila sa Europe. One mistake lang. Pung. The pregnancy test came out. Ma, you're going to be Lola soon. I said, Sin o? Ikaw? Ako? Who is pregnant? I said, Mei Mei. I thought it's the younger sister because Jen wants a family, but not Joy. Jen is my younger daughter. Jen said, I want a family. So I thought, huh? Jen got pregnant. No la, ma, me. Then I was a little bit sarcastic. I thought your birth control is ironclad. How come one teeny weeny sperm can get through? She said, I also don't know. I said, it's God. It's God. Little did she know. Because every time when we went back to Singapore, Pastor Tony will always preach to her, you must have a family. God said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, Dad, shut it. The world is overpopulated. Don't add to the problems anymore. Then I will say, Joy, you are not considered a family until you're pregnant and give birth to a baby. No, I'm not going to have a baby. I don't want the little one to grow up and then be pressurized by this changing world. full of last day's children. And then he or she will be forced, you know, to define her own gender, whether, you know, under the LGBTQ. And I don't want him or her to go through that pressure. Then I said, Joy, have more faith. If you are a Christian mother, you indoctrinate your child since she's born, you know, the ways of God will not depart from him or her, even though at certain season of her life, he or she may fail God or fail you, but they will return from the enemy's territory to the borders of Jerusalem. Nah, I don't want. But God humbled her and crumpled her ironclad family planning and birth control. And now I heard that the baby will be born earlier than October. It'll be born September 16. I say, I pray it'll be born September 23. So the birthday and her birthday or his birthday will be synced with mine. Praise God. Do not be arrogant and smug in your own effort and in your own planning. God can easily crumble your mountain. Recently, we read news about this volcanic eruption in Tonga, where, you know, Kalafimuela came from, and Kalafimuela is one of our favorite speakers. And there was a volcanic eruption in his country on January 15, 2020. The volcanic eruption was so intense that it caused the atmosphere to ring like a bell. And Tonga was cut off from the entire world for 3 days. And Joy, my daughter, said, the intensity of the eruption was like 5 atomic bombs, the crumbling of a tall and immovable mountain. Brothers and sisters, if you are prosperous today, thank the Lord, recognize that it's a gift from God, be humble, and do not build a niche around your prosperity with a false confidence, I shall never be moved. On the other hand, if some of you today, if you're in a season where it seems that God hides his face or where God's face seems hidden, do not take it as God's final word to you. In Christ, your poverty, your financial distress, it's not his final word, as we will see later in this sermon. Brothers and sisters, recognize this reality. We are fragile. Our world is fragile. The world thought that, wow, with all, you know, the high tech, with all the iPhone, the smartphone that makes us look so stupid, even the TV is smarter than us. When Pastor Tony wanted to buy a TV to take revenge against me because of this little puppy that I decided to keep, you know, I specifically told him, I said, do not get a smart TV because it always outsmarts you, and you get it home and you do not know how to operate. So we get a little bit stupid TV. Our world, you know, they think because of technology, because of IT, because of digital advancement and things like that, they think that they're, you know, invincible. We shall never be moved. But our world, look at it. It came crumbling down. Our economy is fragile. Our health is fragile. Both of us are pretty, you know, healthy people. But after being in Singapore, indulging in all the gastronomic delights, we came back and I went for a test. All the test results, most of it, aren't good. And I realized, oh my God, I'm old. And my health is no more the same as before. Even our peace is fragile. You think Philippines is very peaceful? Wait till one of the candidates come in, see whether there is another coup d'etat or not. When we are prosperous, remember God is the giver, and we should humbly thank him and not presume we shall never be moved. And when our mountain does crumble like now, God has taken it away and he has his eternal purposes for us in it. This is his test to reveal who we really are and purify us for his final favor. Next, what does Psalm 30 teach us? Psalm 30 teaches us that the pit is fearsome and purposeful. Let's finish David's flashback with verses 8 to 10. Verse 8 says, to you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord. Be my helper. Here, David tells us how he pled with God when he was desperate and near death. So how did he plead with God? First, he reasoned with God. Verse 9 says, what profit is there in my death? Verse 9, if you to paraphrase it, is this: God, what good is it to you if I die? I cannot praise you if I lose my body, if I lose my mouth and tongue. Verse 9 mentions this word, the pit, as does verse 3. Another name for the pit is Sheol. Look at verse 3. Oh Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. What is the Sheol that is mentioned here? Well, in the Old Testament time, God had not yet revealed as much about the afterlife as he has now. And in particular, he had not yet altered the landscape of the afterlife by raising Jesus from the dead and bringing the righteous souls with him to heaven. In other words, in the Old Testament, Jesus had not come yet. Jesus had not died and resurrected. So where did all the dead of the Old Testament go to? They go to this place called Sheol. Another synonym is pit. Sheol is the Hebrew word. All right, pit is the English word. Hades is the Greek word. It's the same as Sheol. Sheol or pit or Hades was the dark, shadowy place of the dead, where the human soul will go once body and soul were torn apart in death. The body dies and goes into the ground, and the soul and spirit then will wait in Sheol, where a chasm was fixed between the righteous and the wicked. And this chasm is mentioned in Luke 16:26, which I preached to you before, all right, in the sermon called The Rich Man and the Poor Man, Lazarus. So Sheol was a holding place for the souls of the dead, waiting for the final judgment. No bodies to move, or hands to work, or eyes to see, or ears to hear, or mouths to speak. When a body is turned to dust, your body cannot do all this function. And so David appeals to this. He knows that God made the world for his glory and that he rightly means to be praised. And David begs that God spare his life to preserve God's praise. He reasons with God on the basis of God's glory, which is also a very good way for us to pray. So here, you see, in verse 9, David argues with God. But in verse 10, no more argument, no more reasoning. David just pleads for mercy. And that brings, you know, to the second how. All right, when you are in trouble, just plead for mercy. When you're in a pit, what should you do? You can reason with God, you can complain to God, you know, but ultimately, you still have to plead for his mercy. Verse 10 says, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord. Be my helper. And God does show him mercy. He heals him, rescues him, preserves his life, body, mouth, and tongue. And so David writes Psalms 30 to sing praises and thanks, and to also invite others to sing with him, and more than just sing. And that brings me to my next point. Praise is audible and bodily. In verses 11 to 12, we come back to the present. Verses 11 and 12 are the two last verses of Psalms 30. And we are now coming back to the present from the flashback of verses 6 to 10. David has been rescued. He still has his mouth, and he's using his mouth to ascribe to God the glory due to his name. And his praise on the other side of the pit is not only audible, but bodily. And this is what we might call an enhanced praise, or in our Pentecostal term, magnified praise. Verse 11 says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Verse 12 says, that what? That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So here are two things that we can see in these important climactic verses. What are the two things? First, sorrow and joy are not equal. In God and for his people, the sackcloth of sorrow and the garment of gladness are not equal. Sorrow and joy are asymmetrical for God's people. The word asymmetrical means lopsided. They are not equal. Sackcloth always serves gladness. The superior one here is not sorrow. The superior one here is gladness. Sackcloth must always serve gladness. In other words, God takes our mourning and turns it into dancing. And that's the final word. Not the other way around, not in the end. So I'm trying to tell you that God removes the garment of our weeping and clothes us with joy. In God, Morning does not have the final say, but morning. Okay, now, morning and morning. Okay, it's very hard. It sounds the same. Okay, so look at the spelling on the screen. Joy comes with the aga. Okay, the morning, verse 5. And morning gives way to morning. The reason we know this is true for God's people and verse 11 celebrates it is because this is rooted in the character of God. This is rooted in the nature of God, which is what David says in the last part of verse 5. Let's read verse 5 again. For his anger is but for a moment and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. I want you to note this little word, for. Why is joy the final word? For means because. Because of God's character. And what is God's character? Is this. God is not only full of favor, he's not only gracious, but he gets righteously angry. But grace and anger are not equal in revealing who he is. Anger, again here, is more inferior to favor. Anger serves favor. Weeping does not have the last word for Christians. But joy is the last word. Joy sounds the final note. How can we say that? Because of verse 5. Verse 5 reveals God's nature. Because verse 5 says God is God. That is who God is. Because he has revealed himself as the God of verse 5. Therefore, we know that verse 11 surely will come true. And that is what? Verse 11 promises us that morning, aga will definitely come. Rescue will definitely come. Relief will come. Joy will sound the final note no matter our present trouble or distress if you are called to be his people. Brothers and sisters, when we sink the roots of our joy into the very nature and character of God as verse 5 does, our roots of joy go down as deep as possible. Our joy, come what may, is grounded on who God is as the God of joy who is infinitely happy. The word lifetime. Lifetime is eternal. There's no greater foundation, no greater source, no greater reason for stability and security and genuine joy when our joy is hidden in God himself. And that is this, that his anger, though real and painful, is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, and it does. And how often it does for many, many, many long nights. But brothers and sisters, know this truth. In God, aga is always coming. Just a little while longer. And joy comes along with morning. And get us through the night, knowing that more is coming. And as sure as David could be of this, as we see in verse 5 and 11, we know in Christ are even more sure, even more secure, more enduringly stable. Because in a way, during David's time, David could not yet see what we have today. And that is the cross and the resurrection. And the cross and the resurrection is not only another example of joy sounding the last note, but it is the once and for all objective accomplishment in the whole of history. And what is that? Joy will win. Not your luha, not your crying, not your sorrows. Joy will have the last laugh. Joy will have the final say. Joy will sound the last note. As sure as Jesus conquered the grave, so will we. Which is no promise about earthly prosperity. Whether how soon the pandemic ends or whether any fresh and lasting peace is achieved in our city. The present pandemic might turn out far worse than our current assessment. The economy of Philippines might take a worse turn. The election results of Philippines may not be what many of you want. The nature and the person of God does not give us earthly assurances that we will have no nights of weeping. But in Christ, God does give us final assurance. The night will end, morning will come, joy will be the final note. Second thing that we can learn from verse 11 and 12 is this. God turns our mourning into dancing. Verse 12 says, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. What do you mean by my glory? My glory here means my whole being may sing your praise and not be silent. On the other side of the pit, David's praise has been enhanced, magnified. He's not just praising with his mouth, but with his whole being. My glory means my whole being. And what does verse 11 mention? The word dancing. David does not say, you turn my mourning into joy or my mourning into singing. No, David says dancing. And this is the whole being joy. In other words, the whole person matters for praising God. The mind matters, the heart matters, the voice matters, singing matters, dancing also matters. The whole self matters to God. Remember David's argument in verse 9 for not dying was that his voice will not be able to praise God. Now, his climactic declaration is he will praise God with his glory, with his whole being, his heart, his voice, his whole body. He will dance to praise God with his entire being, clothed with gladness, which, interesting enough, is what it means to image God in the world. My glory means I am created in the glory, in the image of God. So when you are, you know, praising God with your whole being, you image God to the world. You not only think of Him and love Him and praise Him and thank Him inwardly and invisibly, but you also speak. You also tell, you praise, you extol and dance, clothed with good works to project God into the world for others to see and hear the joy we have in Him. I believe that when we released the balloon, people in the community saw yesterday. It's such a testimony to Him. I believe it invokes in them, what is this church doing? Actually, if I have more budget, I would have loved, you know, to, you know, pump more helium or hydrogen-filled balloon and distribute to all the different barangays. And those of you that have rehabs and contacts from the barangay, I want you to gather them in the barangays and pray and release simultaneously. But I was working out the budget, it comes up to almost 20,000. That balloon, some of you asked me, can we give to the children? The balloon yesterday is not cheap, okay? One balloon alone is 23 peso, and it has a lifespan of only 5 hours, okay? And if you want 8 hours, I think it's 40 plus, 45 per balloon. So I was, in a way, not happy, okay, when the kids want a balloon. It's not for playing. It's a prophetic image that we are sending to the demonic realm that our prayer ascends to God. When the people humble themselves, fast and pray in unison for God's deliverance, for God to deliver this country out of the pit caused by the pandemic. Hello, are you there? You image God when you are engaged in your whole being praise, when you're engaged in enhanced praises unto God. Now, in conclusion, wow, very short, 11:15 lang. For David, the bringing up of his soul from Sheol, from the pit, from Hades, was figurative. David was good as dead. He despaired of life itself. He thought he was a goner. And God brought him up from a near-death experience. But for David's greater son, it was not figurative. It was literally true. David's greater son died on the cross. His body and soul were torn apart. And his human soul went all the way to the pit. Talk about the fulfillment of Psalms 30. David's greater son literally went through every versicolo of it. For Friday morning and all day Saturday and into Sunday morning, his spirit waited in the pit. And then God drew him up and spoiled the joy of his enemies and brought him all the way up, not just from the brink of death, but from death itself. Because God hid his face on Friday, joy came with Easter Sunday morning. And because of Jesus, today we can experience joy, not wrath as our final note, and clothed with gladness. And so we are, as we are conformed to his image. Before I close this sermon, allow me to give you this testimony. The 7 years of persecution, in fact, it is 7.5 years of persecution, starting from late 2004 to the first quarter of 2012. The 7 years of persecution as a result of us buying this land was one of my longest nights of my soul. Tears, you know, keep rolling down from my eyes for many, many nights in my secret prayer closet. And I believe there is a jar to keep all my tears. And I think punot na. But the deepest pit was 2012 and the subsequent years after this. But I thank and extol the name of Yahweh for delivering me up in 2016. And since then, my nights got shorter and shorter till Aga came. Today, I dare to testify to you, I am experiencing the joy of God's morning, and truly joy did come in the end. I learned not to gloat or presume upon my prosperity of a growing and a thriving church, nor even to be dismayed that sometimes God's hidden face is His disfavor. God taught me to redefine the theology of prosperity as well as the theology of poverty, and that God's final test to me is, who am I depending on for my ultimate identity, my ultimate significance and meaning in life? I realized at the end of the day, God is teaching me to throw away, to denounce all my idols, and to proclaim it is only God and God alone who is my ultimate identity, significance, and meaning in life. Indeed, God has taught me profoundly what it means to go from prosperity in my first 26 years of my missionary life here to the pit in 2012, and now to praise. Praise has become my new anthem to Him. Hallelujah! Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Shall we pray? Musician, please. As we bow our heads, I know that you cannot come to the altar. I want you to ask yourself very honestly, where are you now? Prosperity, pit, or praise? Have you become presumptuous thinking that your present prosperity now is as immovable as a mountain? The answer that I need to give you this morning, recognize that prosperity is a gift of God and a test of who you are. Number three, do some of you here, you are in despair because it seems that God has hidden His face from you. Tago. God is hiding His face from you, and you are like to the devil that God hates you. God is no more favoring you. You have to redefine your theology of poverty, remembering that God even used your poverty to purify and refine who you are. Today, are you equating the prosperity to God's favor and poverty as God's disfavor? You have to correct this wrong mindset. Are you crying now? Are you in pain? Are you in sorrow? I can tell you, based on the nature of God, verse 5, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is a lifetime. And God definitely will turn your mourning into dancing and change your sackcloth of sorrow into joy. Pain, sorrow, all these are inferior to joy. Joy has a final say because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.